From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. You're still with us with the Voice of Indonesia English Service. I'm Stefan as well. We'll be in here for the next 1 hour. More information, more music, and many more from Indonesia will be in here for you. The first one will be the news. Stay tuned.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. President Joko Widodo wants the new capital built on the concept of smart metropolis. President Joko Widodo said education budget reaches 508 trillion rupiah in 2020. Now the news in details. Indonesian President Joko Widodo wants the new state capital in East Kalimantan to be built on the concept of smart metropolis, thus the new capital becomes a dynamic city with a pluralistic society. This was affirmed by President Joko Widodo after the inauguration of the opening of the 2019 Indonesian construction at Jakarta International Expo Kemayoran in Jakarta on Wednesday. As reported by Antara, President Joko Widodo emphasized that the new capital would not only be a government city, but also an emission-free business city or an emission-free industry where the world community would work. The Indonesia's new capitals will also be built by providing world-class quality atmosphere and services. Government has set Penajam Pasar Utara and Kutai Kartanegara East Kalimantan to be the location of the new capital. President Joko Widodo stated that the education budget in 2020 State Revenue and Expenditure Budget APBN will reach 508 trillion rupiah, so that its use has to be done carefully. In the opening of the 2019 National Government Goods Services Procurement Coordination Meeting in Jakarta on Wednesday, he said that in the next 5 years, the government spending would still focus on infrastructure. President Joko Widodo acknowledged that until now, the role of the private sector is very dominant in the economic field, but the role of the state budget is still very important. Thus, procurement of goods and services is an important driving factor that supports economic growth both on a national and regional scale. Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fishery Edi Prabowo wants the aquaculture to provide the biggest contribution in the development of the national marine and fishery sector, as President Joko Widodo has instructed. In the opening of the 2019 Aquatica Asia and Indo-Aqua exhibition in Jakarta on Wednesday, Minister Edi hoped that the annual exhibition could be a place for sharing information in the development of aquaculture to be better ahead. In addition, the holding of the event entitled Aquaculture Forever is a place to evaluate the targets and weaknesses found in the field of national aquaculture. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Arifin Tasrif said that his side would increase the realization of new and renewable energy-based plants. He views that there are currently many new and renewable energy potentials that have not yet been maximized. The utilization of the potential of the new and renewable energy has only reached 8% of the total potential of 400 gigawatts. Minister Arifin ensured in Jakarta on Wednesday that through innovation and significant development, the potential could become a new business. He also affirmed that the high level of resources might support the use of electricity from renewable energy such as water, geothermal, and abundant wind in the country. This utilization needs to be maximized. Deputy Minister of Finance Wahasil Nazara expects that the economic growth in the third quarter of 2019 of 5.02% should provide opportunities to improve the performance of the national economy. Giving a speech at the 2019 Indonesia Banking Expo in Jakarta on Wednesday, he said that 5.02% economic growth is not low one. This growth should provide optimism to move the Indonesian economy. He also explained that the slowing global economic condition has an impact on the economic slowdown of both developed and developing countries, including Indonesia. Nevertheless, Deputy Minister Swahasil argued that Indonesia's economy is still growing better than other countries that experiences a deeper slowdown. United States Secretary of Commerce Wilbur Ross met President Joko Widodo in Jakarta on Wednesday. As Media Indonesia wrote, one of the discussions at the meeting was the finalization of the import duty-free treatment facility through the general preference system for certain goods from developing countries. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, after the meeting, said that the visit is a reflection of the U.S. commitment to improve bilateral relations with Indonesia, particularly in the economic field. Meanwhile, Coordinating Minister of Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto hopes that the general preferential tariff system will become part of Indonesian-American cooperation in the next 70 years, as well as symbol of cooperation between the two countries. President Joko Widodo hopes that the trade cooperation with the U.S. can increase its volume to $60 billion in 5 years from the current value of around $30 billion. More than 11,000 scientists in 158 countries from various disciplines in a joint study have cautioned that the planet Earth is in the state of climate emergency. They warn of incalculable adverse effects due to climate change if human beings do not change their way of life. They claim to have a moral policy to tell the truth about climate change. One of the chairperson in writing the report and a head of policy of the Conservation Biology Institute in Washington, USA, Phoebe Barnard, emphasized that this is the time for policymakers in the world to come together to face climate change. As quoted by CNN on Wednesday, she said that if that is not addressed immediately, the consequences would be worse in the future. That was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Listener, here is today's commentary. Today's commentary, it is about promoting Indonesian traditional textiles to be the best in ASEAN. The 7th ASEAN Traditional Textile Symposium takes place in Yogyakarta from the 5th until the 8th of November 2019. The symposium carries the theme Embracing Change, Respecting Traditions. The activity is organized by Traditional Textile Art Society of Southeast Asia, which is a textile preservation organization in ASEAN. President of Traditional Textile Art Society of Southeast Asia, Gusti Kanjeng Bendara Raden Ayu Adipati Paku Alam, said that the symposium aims to advance scientific knowledge of traditional textiles in terms of material, motifs, or patterns, and techniques. The efforts to improve the knowledge is very appropriate because the production of traditional textiles, especially the production of handmade textiles, tends to decrease. The decline in production of traditional handmade textiles and the increase in production of low-quality, inexpensive textiles are a serious concern for lovers of traditional fabrics in the world, including the lovers of traditional fabrics in Indonesia. There are several reasons why production of traditional handmade textiles decreases. First, the price of traditional handmade textiles is so expensive. To create handmade textiles takes a long time. That's why this makes the price expensive, and this is less attractive to the public. Indonesian people prefer to buy imported traditional artificial textiles products that are cheaper. Currently, imported imitation have flooded this country. The second cause is that traditional fabrics still has a stiff and heavy texture that cannot be sewn into everyday clothing. Thus, its market share becomes limited. Efforts to advance scientific knowledge of traditional textiles in terms of material, motifs, and techniques, such as those carried out in this symposium, need to be continued so that Indonesian traditional textiles can be the best in ASEAN. Indonesian traditional textiles deserve being the best of the world's traditional textile, because Indonesia is rich in various traditional textiles. Every region in this country have their own characteristics of their respective traditional textiles. traditional cloth crafters need to find a way in a bit to apply traditional patterns onto comfortable material for ready-to-wear apparels. Thus, Indonesian traditional clothes is in demand by many people. In terms of technology, it is expected that business people keep maintaining the handmade process and do not need to make mass products by using machine technology. Technology can be used for efficiency purposes only, but it is hoped that crafters still finish the final stages by using the touch of hand so that the value of human creativity keeps emerging in the clothes. And listener, that's the commentary for today.
Listener, here is Today in History. We begin Today in History with information from November the 7th, 1945, about the establishment of Majelis Syura Muslimin Indonesia, or Masyumi Party, or Council of the Indonesian Muslim Association Party. The Majelis Syura Muslimin Indonesia Party, or better known as the Masyumi Party, was established on the 7th of November 1945 after the proclamation of the Indonesian independence. In less than a year, the Masyumi Party succeeded in becoming the largest political party in Indonesia. It was considered an Islamic organization like Nahdlatul Ulama and Muhammadiyah. During the era of liberal democracy in Indonesia, members of the Masyumi Party were chosen as members of the Indonesian House of Representatives, and some of them were also appointed as Indonesian Prime Ministers, such as Muhammad Nasir and Burhanuddin Harahab. The party was banned by Indonesian First President Sukarno in 1960 because the party purportedly supported the rebellion of the revolutionary government of the Republic of Indonesia, or PRRI. We continue to the information on the launching of Mars Global Surveyor on November the 7th, 1996. Mars Global Surveyor was a spacecraft created by the Jet Propulsion Laboratory at the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, or NASA. The spacecraft, which was launched from Cape Canaveral on the 7th of November 1999, was aimed at mapping the surface of Mars. The mapping lasted from March 1999 to January 2001. After completing its primary mission, Mars Global Surveyor was instructed to observe and take photos of other objects. However, the spacecraft failed to respond the message and command. The next attempt of communicating with the spacecraft also did not work. The spacecraft project was officially terminated in January 2007. The last information is about the moving of Myanmar's capital city from Yangon to Pyanmana on November the 7th, 2005. By the Burmese military junta. Pyanmana is a city in Manadalay province, Myanmar. The Burmese military junta moved the capital city of the country from Yangon to Pyanmana on November the 7th, 2005. Since March 2006, local mass media and local government institutions have named the city Nai Pitau, which means about the king. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Cinta yang datang mendekat, ku menolak.
You are still with us in English service from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Next one, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia title, National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, support natural environmental conservation and sustainability. Head of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, Doni Monardo, encourage all parties, including conservation area managers, communities, and the private sectors, to support environmental conservation and sustainability. Doni Monardo, in his written statement received by Antara in Jakarta on Saturday, said, that conservation activities which are aimed at preserving nature really require people's participation so that more and more people are increasingly concerned with the current environmental conditions. Doni Monardo and his staff recently visited the Masigit Korombi Buru Park Conservation Area in Citalengka, West Java, which is managed by the Association of Jungle Facers and Mountain Climbers, WANATRI. This 12,000 hectares conservation area is managed by focusing on replanting and has been replicated by some other regions, such as Garut and Bekasi. The conservation also becomes the center of character building for the students in the region and surrounding areas. Doni Monardo explained that the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, also participated to encourage the concept of Karumbi Conservation Area and hopes the WANATRI could strengthen capacity of all components that have contribution to the natural conservation. On the occasion, Doni Monardo also hopes that WANATRI can hold cooperation with community and business institution in encouraging the conservation activities so that the program could be run maximally and fully supported by provincial government, business institution, as well as people. That was My Indonesia.
From hard news, we go on to the next. It is about Indonesian traditions. Well, or maybe some kind of places, good places and good foods in Indonesia. What will we find today? You will find it out in Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I introduce you to Malahade, Southeast Sulawesi. Traveling to Southeast Sulawesi province, I suggest you to visit Kolaka Regency. Kolaka has hilly and mountain topography in part of the island. As one of tourism destinations in Southeast Sulawesi, Kolaka has natural wealth and beautiful panorama. In the region, there is also Pitura Beach, Kayu Angin Bay, Mangolo Natural Tourism, Malaha Bay, and many other interesting places. In today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I introduce you to a beautiful natural object in Kolaka, namely Malaha Bay. Malaha Bay is located at Malaha Village, Kolaka Regency. Traveling to Malaha Bay, you can see coastal panorama, which has smooth sand and also shady pine trees. You can also play water at the sea or feel the freshness of the water. Enjoying sunset or sunrise is an event which is awaited for tourists. Sunrise or sunset is seen more beautiful because this tourism object is open widely and not covered by mountain. In this area, there are provided very Instagrammable spots for selfie. To visit Malaha Bay is not difficult. From Kolaka City, it takes only 30 minutes by land transportation from Kolaka. The region can be accessed by air transportation through Sangya Nibandera Airport. At Malaha Bay, there are available some facilities such as parking lots, toilet and restaurant. Those who want to stay, you can spend the night in Kolaka downtown. The listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Thank you. sia-sia sudah kita jalin cinta. Bila hati selalu berbeda, sampai kapan lagi ku harus menahan rasa kecewa di dalam dada. Seandainya kita masih bersatu, tak mungkin kan menyatu. Walau masih ada sisa cinta, biarkan saja berakhir sampai di sini. Kecewa di dalam dada. Seandainya kita masih bersatu, tak mungkin kan menyatu. Walau masih ada sisa cinta, biarkan saja berakhir sampai di sini.
Ku harapkan tiada lagi.
The next one will be about Indonesian interesting information. It is about Indonesia, can happen inside and also outside of our country. The next segment will be miscellany.
Listener, welcome back to Miscellany. Today we present you information about Borobudur Marathon 2019. Stay tuned. Listener, on the 17th of November 2019, the international marathon, namely Borobudur Marathon 2019, will be held again at the Lumbini Park Borobudur Temple, Magelang, Central Java, Indonesia. Borobudur Marathon 2019 offers new experience for participants and racers to explore Magelang in a unique way. Participants will be welcomed cordially by local people. They can also try a wide range of delicious cuisines and discover various attractions in Magelang. The sporting event also contributes to boosting the economy of local people. Sports tourism has positive and significant impacts for the development of economy in Magelang and Central Java. Listener, Borobudur Marathon 2019 is a running race taking place in Central Java. The race is organized by the government of Central Java in collaboration with Kompas and Bank of Central Java. This year, Borobudur Marathon 2019 raises the theme Synergy and Harmony, which means building synergy together and finding harmony amid diversity. Similar like the previous year, Borobudur Marathon 2019 comprises three categories, namely marathon, half marathon, and 10K. Participants can choose their categories based on their capability. They can enroll in the race via the official website of Borobudur Marathon 2019. As many as 8,000 tickets of Borobudur Marathon 2019 will be drawn through ballot system. The registration has been opened since the 1st of May 2019. The ballot system has been commonly used in other international marathon events such as New York Marathon, Boston Marathon, and Tokyo Marathon. Through the system, participants have the same opportunity to get race slot. Central Java Governor Ganjar Pranowo hoped that Borobudur Marathon 2019 could be the best marathon event in Indonesia. This year, Borobudur Marathon is included in the 10th calendar of events of the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism. Chief Editor of Kompas Ninduk Mardiana pointed out that Borobudur Marathon 2019 is not merely a running race, but it is also a positive activity that gives significant impacts for the social and economic aspects of the Magelang people and their surrounding. Listener, that was Miscellany.
Dalam bimbang, ada adakah sungguhnya aku kasih yang kau inginkan? Biar aku yang pergi, bila tak juga pasti. Adakah selama ini aku cinta sendiri? Biar aku menepi, bukan lelah menanti. Namun apalah artinya cinta pada bayangan? Pedih aku rasakan kenyataannya, cinta tak harus selalu miliki. Adakah sungguhnya aku kasih yang kau inginkan? Biar aku yang pergi, bila tak juga pasti. Adakah selama ini aku cinta sendiri? Biar aku menepi, pada bayangan. Pedih aku rasakan kenyataannya, cinta tak harus selalu miliki.
Listen to more information from Indonesia and also good songs from our country. Next one will be the mix of it. The next will be some music and also the information about the music itself. So make sure that you will stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, I present a song by Titi DJ entitled Bintang Bintang. Titi Dwi Jayanti, or more famous with Titi DJ, is a singer, song composer, and actress. She is also one of pop divas in Indonesia. Since the beginning, Titi released her albums accompanied by Indra Lesmana, who is also a famous musician and composer in Indonesia. However, in Bintang Bintang album, which was released in 1995, Titi purely made it alone without Indra's help. No wonder this album is different from the previous ones. Titi, along with other top musicians Erwin Gutawa, Andi Ayunir, and Adi Adrian, jointly produced the album with a leading song entitled Bintang Bintang. At the time, Titi had just removed her single stages so that there can be seen of happiness through the song. Well, listener, Let's listen to the song Bintang Bintang by Titi DJ. Enjoy the song.
Voice of Indonesia.
Mengapa selalu sakit hatiku, sakit, sakit bila ingat namamu. Semakin ku menjauh, semakin ku menyangkal itu, semakin menghujam semua tentangmu. Mengapa rindu? Semakin menghujam semua tentangmu.
Indonesia.
Alright, it seems it is time to wrap up today's session, but do not worry. From the Voice of Indonesia, we still got more information for you, but in different languages. So in the meantime, before we move on to the next, make sure that you send us criticism, suggestion, broadcast report to us. Send it to our email voi@voanews.id. voi@voanews.id. Also, click like and also, well, give some comments or even send your DMs to our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. Well then, I'm Stefanus. Thank you very much for listening. Do not forget to do something good for today and stay tuned with us in The Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.